You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
So we are up and running. Good morning, James. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
And I can hear you loud and clear as well. It happens from time to time, man. That's okay. That's how technology goes. Yeah. So welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. For those who are under a rock and don't know this voice at all, this is James Saunders, sportsman, sports reporter, extraordinaire. What other things shall I add to your portfolio, Mr. Saunders?
Well, you know, keeping it in a sporting vein, I'm also a coach as well.
And, really?
I'm also a coach, a football coach.
Okay.
And a former player as well, former goalkeeper.
All right. So as we start with goalkeeper, let's go straight to the goalkeeper who is stressing me out. The one from Cap Verde. How you think he is going to be performing for the rest of the tournament? For me, he is the breakout star of the World Cup so far. I mean, he put a spoke in Spain's whole wheel.
Yeah, unfortunately for us Spain lovers.
I tell you.
He was such a thorn in the side of Spain. I think Vozina.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I didn't butcher his name. But I think, you know, just his story was remarkable. A 40-year-old making his World Cup debut.
Mm-hmm.
His first and last World Cup, because, you know, of course, you don't expect him to be playing long after this. And then, you know, to turn out to be the breakout star, keeping the likes of World Cup favorite Spain at bay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the World Cup is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Those micro stories that really, you know, warm the hearts of people worldwide. And just to see his Instagram following move from what it was to
over 2 million.
Yeah, I think that's remarkable. That's a lot more than his country, for sure.
And the thing is, knowing the geographic location of Cabo Verde or Cape Verde, it depends on where you are and how you say it. A country of about, what, 500,000 people, you know, very small on the African coast. They speak a mixture of French and African dialect as well. So we didn't know much about this country at all. Now people are looking forward to finding out more about this country. It's going to be an automatic tourist destination. You know, I did not know that the team, well, from what I read about them, the team is not necessarily professional players as such. It's like carpenters and persons who were doing this as a hobby, you know, that got into it and they decided to represent their country. You know a little more about the story?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, European media always likes to paint everybody who's non-professional as carpenters
and
et cetera. But it's remarkable. Think about our population. That's just about a third of our population that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to produce players playing on the world stage against the biggest nations is something truly incredible. I'm sure that they don't have a professional league, but they've got players that are semi-professional, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, the talent pool is quite small, so that makes it an even more remarkable story. They remind me somewhat of Iceland when they played in the Euros, a small nation as well of carpenters and plumbers.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to European media like to paint them. You know, but it doesn't take away from them, and it doesn't take away from what they've been able to accomplish. I mean, we've got close to 1.5 million, 1.2, whatever, you know, it changes depending on who you ask. And we struggle to make it to a World Cup. We struggle to create world-class players of that level. And, you know, looking at that game, Tusker, what I would say reminded me strongly of the TNT versus Sweden matchup. Small nation against a Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And then they was able to hold that Goliath.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was thinking TNT versus Bahrain when we qualified, you know, because it wasn't expecting a goal. And here it was with, I think it was Kenwin, who made the goal and stepped. Say that again?
It's Burchell.
Burchell. Was it Burchell? Yes.
Yeah. I remember the way I was in the stadium. I remember who I don't remember who I hugged. I hugged a random person. remember that moment distinctly.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was the same kind of feeling that the citizens of Cabo Verde did have, in that this was something that was totally impossible to happen. And I know that they really rallied together, the players, to get them to the World Cup in the first place, because the goalkeeper did talk about his grandmother and the fees that they would have had to pay to bring her to the match. And they were so disappointed in, not her being there. So it was almost like a mirror feeling. I guess that's why TNT felt, commiserated with the team. So that's why I didn't feel too bad, the nil-nil draw to Spain. But like I said, I think that's the breakout story of the World Cup so far. And then there is the other story of Morocco, the little team that could, What do you think about Morocco?
Well, there's one thing in common about them. They're two countries on the African continent. And, Morocco, they have, I'm a little less surprised by Morocco. I expected that Morocco would have been a bigger challenge, competition, having been a AFCON finalist. And of course, for those who follow the AFCON finals, you'd have seen that ended controversially. And in fact, the result is still being debated in court to this moment. But they've been a team on the rise in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some incredible players. You think about Achraf Hakimi and company, world-class players playing for Morocco. I'm a bit more disappointed, and I'm going to call my bias out right here.
I'm expecting it. Go ahead.
Brazil supporter, so I'm a little more disappointed in Brazil's performance.
Yeah,
Morocco could have won the game, perhaps should have won the game, and I look forward to seeing Morocco as one of the, what we call a dark horse team in this competition, a team that can
push into
this competition.
At the beginning of the World Cup and, trying to figure out if the teams will actually make it and so on, I had some predictions, and Morocco is my dark horse. In spite of, I haven't forgotten what they did in the Africa Cup, the Confederation Cup, as I brought that up. But I have to say, Brazil is not looking quite like the Brazil it needs to be. Brazilian right now. I don't know, how the Brazilians are feeling right now, but
I have some Brazilian friends, and I can tell you they're not very pleased right now with the way things are going for the Selecao. Brazilian people are, I was going to say among the most passionate, but I would outrightly say perhaps the most passionate football fans ever. I had the opportunity of going to the 2014 World Cup in Brazil and getting to experience that myself. And, how we would go to, let's say, a sports bar to look at the game, and you're there with your friends, you're probably having a drink or eating some wings or something like that, and the game going on, but you're all talking, and Brazilian fans, the anthem will be playing on the television, and they would stop what they're doing and they'll be singing it with their chest. That's the passion of Brazilian fans. It could be a street viewing party, it could be a sports bar, it could be the stadium. They are singing and they are crying while the national anthem is going on TV with the players. I know that Brazilian fans would be, a bit disappointed. A lot of people are asking, where is the samba in Brazil? Have they stopped dancing? We like the dancing Brazilians. We grew up looking at Ronaldinho and the Ronaldos. And then you look at, Paquetá. Not like to him or Casimiro. And then you wonder, has the factory, the production line, has it finally come to the end of those exciting players that we've seen? I think it's a bit early to call it on Brazil, to be honest. And I think that Ancelotti is a very experienced manager. He's a tournament manager. You might remember what he's done with Real Madrid in particular and their recent success in the Champions League. And I won't cry too much for Brazil, but I would say though that I miss that magic.
As a side note, are you an Arsenal fan?
No. It doesn't mean that I'm not a loyal man, Tusker. You know, I understand the loyalty factor with Arsenal fans, but no, I'm not an Arsenal fan. I was one of those, hate watching Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to any Arsenal fan looking on right now, but, you know, yeah, the Premier League, congratulations, but I really didn't want them to win the Champions League.
Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute too. Because I was surprised. I will leave that for just a minute. Going back to the World Cup, the other game that was interesting to me in terms of its result, I was shocked to see that. Well, this Germany versus Curaçao game was another one that I was looking forward to just to see the performance of Curaçao. And the fact that Curaçao actually scored one against Germany, I had to say hats off, right? Because I see that this team was just expecting to be on the pitch.
Yeah. And put yourself in the shoes of Curaçao, who, by the way, not turned down until they got to the
goals of Europe. What?
Without beating us in a match.
I didn't even want to bring that part up, but here we are.
I digress. But think about it from a TNT perspective. Had we scored in Germany 2006, what it would have been like.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have felt as if we won the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter the scoreline, just the fact that you scored against in a World Cup one and to score against Germany,
mm-hmm.
a world team. And I felt it for Curaçao. I felt like a Curaçao. What do we call them? Curaçaoans? You know, I'll work on what we call them. But, you know, I felt like if I'm from Curaçao, you couldn't tell me I was not from Curaçao. You know, to see a small nation like them come to the World Series. And despite, you know, being trampled by Germany, they still stood up and they were able to score. You know, that was amazing.
And I'm not going to hear the opinion of anyone who says, well, yeah, they give them a bly. They work for that goal. They worked for that. Yeah. So in preparation for one of the big games today, Portugal versus the Democratic Republic of Congo, what is your scoreline? What does that look like? What do you think going to happen in that one?
All eyes are definitely going to be on number 7, Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
AKA the guy with the best hairstyle of the World Cup, AKA the, if you're a Messi fan, the other guy, if you're not a Messi fan, the good. You know,
the plastic doll for me, he looks like a Ken doll, just the Spanish version.
I didn't want to be the one to say it, but you know, what Tosca said. But all eyes are going to be him, particularly after we saw what Lionel Messi did last night. The oldest World Cup hat-trick scorer. And, you know, it's exciting to see someone like Cristiano Ronaldo playing his final World Cup. He's playing with a Portugal team that is stacked, loaded with talent. You think of Vecino, who won the UEFA Champions League. You think of Bruno Fernandes and company, Nuno Mendes as well. It's going to be an exciting game. To think that we've seen so many stars play so far, and yet still one of the greatest players of our generation still to play Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to that. In terms of scoreline, Democratic Republic of Congo, I don't see them being a major test for Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, you know, who would have said that Cape Verde would have been a major test for Spain?
Exactly. You know? And Curaçao for Germany. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, so, you know, I'm just looking forward to a good game. I know Cristiano Ronaldo would be fired up after Messi's performance last night. You saw Kylian Mbappe scoring too. We saw Erling Haaland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's not going to be left out of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I you know, put my reputation in the line. Yeah, say I expect a Portugal win.
Mm-hmm.
But by how much, it's going to be difficult to tell.
And just to touch on the France and Senegal game, did you enjoy that one? I did not see that one. I know that France supporters are quite happy with the end result, 3-1.
Which one of the French supporters? The Senegalese French or the French?
No, yeah.
It was France versus France.
Yeah, basically, Yeah.
You look at some of those players, some of those players from Senegal would have played for France U teams growing up. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to just play a training match against ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of punters and persons who are talking on the game are saying that a lot of countries are basically playing like the second string of their country, you know? So that's why I find it very interesting that from league football to the World Cup, you're kind of literally playing those members that you know already. You know, so you know all their secrets. So this is why I find it a challenging job for the coaches of the national teams to really come up with something spectacular to hold off the attacks that they know would come from the European side, the club football. We got some calls coming in. Let's take some calls now. 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. I want to ask you about England and Croatia. What do you expect with that one? Hello, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tasca.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Argentina all the way.
There you.
Hey, I couldn't wait for the first call you. I still have a give up. Yeah, I guess I'll have a chance if I call you.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw the greatest of all time there is and there will ever be. Lionel Messi.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to come close to him. And I want to see the Democratic Republic of Congo hold down that game to either 0-0 or 1-0 in Congo favor.
Wait, you actually saying to go in Democratic Republic of Congo favor?
That's the upset. The World Cup gonna start there.
Oh, okay.
Speed and strength is gonna take that precedence of that game.
You really want Ronaldo to throw a tantrum?
Ronaldo had a cry, sweat, blood and tears today. Right? Because he wants to match up to Messi, you know, but he's in no class for that. He wants to be there. He wants to be in Messi. And when Kevin is there, he's a player.
Mm-hmm.
He is a player. I mean, he has his skills, he has his own talent and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But to Messi, I personally, I've not seen the comparison with him being close to Messi. And he will want to repeat a Messi today.
Mm-hmm.
And Congo's going to hold him down. And he will never make a score today.
All right.
You know what is my game today?
What's your
England,
game today?
Croatia.
Well, I'm now going to ask you, what's your prediction for that one?
England-Croatia, 0-0 draw, I would presume. But those are two teams that, I mean, England is not at their best at this time, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, given their experience and the way about the brand of ball in which they play, that's a tough game. That's the toughest game for today when I look at the schedule for today.
Mm-hmm.
England-Croatia is one of the toughest games. But I would love to see Congo hold on that game and make it the upset of the World Cup today.
All right.
Thank you much.
Thanks so much for your call. Talk to me, James. You agree or disagree?
I just can't see Democratic Republic of Congo. I get the argument of the physicality of the Congolese, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Portugal has too much firepower.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm interested to see is how big a role Cristiano Ronaldo plays in that team.
Mm-hmm.
you look at Argentina, as Paula said, and Messi is still an integral part of the Portugal set of the Argentina setup. For Portugal, I don't see Cristiano Ronaldo having the same impact, although his teammates would have you believe otherwise. Will Roberto Martinez make the big call? Would Cristiano Ronaldo start from the beginning, or how much of an impact, or how much will he play in the game? And that's left to be seen. But
mm-hmm.
I still see Portugal overpowering Congo.
Now, with the comparison of Argentina and the way Messi plays with Argentina as a team, I can understand the caller's prediction that Democratic of Republic, the DR Congo, might just win this game because Ronaldo plays like there's Ronaldo and then the team. You know what I mean? So that might be a disadvantage. So I could understand the prediction there. But I'm not seeing it. Honestly, they will give them a challenge for sure. But I'm not seeing the outcome going in Congo's favor. Let's take some messages at 3061065. This one says here, good morning, Miss Martinez. I see you're wearing your Argentina jersey today. No. Dennis Lawrence scored in Bahrain to qualify. So we'll check up on that. All right, let's take some calls now. 625-2257-627-3223 is the number. Tell me your predictions for today, 5 minutes to 10 o'clock. James, I'll keep you a little while after 10, right, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
All right. So another game that I am looking forward to is Uzbekistan and Colombia. And here's why I'm saying Uzbekistan, because the team seems to be building just like the other three teams that we saying that you didn't expect to make much of an impact. I know that Colombia is our powerhouse. Legacy precedes the whole game. But for some reason, I'm just feeling that they will be challenged. And I'm realizing that a lot of the legacy teams right now being challenged in a way that we did not expect. What say you?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a challenging fixture. Colombia, you know, if you looked at South America and qualifying, if you looked at the last Copa America, they were one of the dangerous teams. Mm-hmm. You know, led by Luis Rodriguez. And a nippy team, a team full of grit, and a team that refuses to give up, that plays at high velocity, really, you know, high intensity. However, that being said, Uzbekistan is no walkover. Mm. They're a physical team. They're a tall team. They're strong in the air, something that Colombia lacks a bit, I think. Aerial prowess. They're a fast team, and they've got players that can bang it from outside the area as well. They can shoot. They score some long-range goals as well. So I think, that would present an interesting challenge for Colombia. It's a challenge perhaps that they haven't faced. And we have seen teams coming from that Middle East region really putting on a show. We saw Saudi Arabia in action as well. We saw Qatar last time around as well. So, you know, that match is a match, I think many surprises will happen. Whether the surprises will be in favor of Colombia or Uzbekistan, that's left to be seen, but I think it's an open match. It's anybody's game then.
Mm-hmm. Can we mention Iran?
Yeah, Iran and Iraq. You know, let me add them to the list as well, honey. And you saw what they did.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly no walkover teams from that region.
Yeah.
And, so you saw Iran's aerial threat when they played as well. So, you know, Uzbekistan is it's a similar team to the mold of Iran and Iraq.
Mm-hmm. All right, going to take a short break. And when we come back, we step into the second hour inside the Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Continue to call us at 625-2257, 627-3223. Of course, the WhatsApp number 3061065. Your predictions and how we're following teams. That's how we're talking sports inside the Human Impact. We'll be right back.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
106.5. All right, welcome back, TNT. Got a call already. Let's take in this call. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. All right, call back. 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. Continue to send your messages as well to 3061065. There is another game that I'm looking at. So let me bring it up here. Where did it go? There we go. So another team that I was expecting a little more. No, not expecting a little more, but seeing a lot more fire than usual. And I guess it's because their games are being played on home ground. Mexico, yeah, has a little spunk to it. And the way in which that South Korea has played as well in their opening games has been pretty impressive. So,
yeah, and you expect Mexico to be a big challenge because they're playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
You would see the first time where they got to the World Cup final was in Mexico City, World Cup in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly playing at altitude, they're going to feel very comfortable playing at home.
Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed with South Africa, though. I expected a little more from South Africa.
You might have expected some more from South Africa, but you've got to factor in the fact that they played that game at high altitude.
Yeah.
And while South Africa tried to get preparation in playing at high altitude, it's going to be difficult going to the Azteca. Trinidad and Tobago players will tell you. I think we've only scored once at the Azteca. He didn't into my memory. Still be right. You know, it's been a place of horror for visiting teams. It's almost like you're going to heaven to play a match. The oxygen.
No, this was one of the things that I spoke to Terry Fenwick about in the logistics of having three countries involved in this edition of the World Cup. In terms of travel for the teams, getting to the stadia is one, the jet lag that they have to consider too, and then the travel back to their home bases, that is going to have an effect on how they play, not so?
Yeah, not just three countries, any three countries, but three very large countries.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, it's huge. It's always flying across Canada. The U.S. is the same, and Mexico. So that certainly will factor in for a lot of teams, particularly the European teams and African teams who have traveled long distance. They even get across the Atlantic to get to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I will think that the home teams would be among the fresher teams. And just to revisit that match you asked me about, Uzbekistan versus Colombia.
Yeah.
What I feel to explain is the fact that that match is being played in Mexico City.
Mm.
And, you know, I think, you know, playing in Mexico certainly will be an advantage to Colombia, who are accustomed playing within that region, accustomed playing matches at that particular altitude as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's rare to see a Mexican team struggle at home. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got any Jamaican experience, they're difficult to beat in a yard.
Mm-hmm. It come like Kenyans and marathoners, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. Let's take a call. 625-2257-627-3223. Hello, good morning. All right, try again. 625-2257-627-3223 is the number. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Tusker, and morning to your guests.
It's James Saunders.
James Saunders. That name sung in familiar TV6.
Well, you didn't have to call the station, partner, but thanks.
All right, sorry.
You could have said sportscaster, you know, sports enthusiast.
A slip of the tongue is no fault of the man.
Well, welcome, right. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Tosca, that guy who bigging up Messi, I want him to sit down and watch this match today and see the real goat.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the real goat.
It begins.
And the next thing, I heard you speak about it earlier, concerning Iran with the inconvenience of having to travel and, you know, to and fro for the games, which is so ridiculous. You telling me FIFA, politics have to stay out of sport. If that is the case, why was Russia banned when they attacked Ukraine? Russia was banned for attacking Ukraine from the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But America and Israel is not being banned from attacking Iran. What's going on in this place? You can see that as clear as daylight. And the inconvenience of the people to be traveling, why they can't be in a particular area with proper security, you know, training, they have security. It is totally ridiculous, and I want to hear the sportscaster point of view on that. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. Now, like I said, there are a lot of technical stories inside the World Cup 2026. We could talk about that part, Iran, the difficulty in players being able to get visas to come in, supporters as well. I think, as Mr. Fenwick said as well, I think this is the opportunity to show what coming together is about, more than making it, as you said in your contribution, making it political. There are the issues outside of the game and outside of the sport that needs to be addressed and would be and is, in a way, by the supporters in the stadium, by supporting and actually still turning out four games. It was unfortunate what they did to the Somalian referee as well. I recognize probably it was a little too late that Mexico was willing to have him as a referee at the matches there just to, you know, show their support for him. The treatment of players as well. Some teams were searched on the tarmac, you know?
Some players were questioned up to 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the 18-year-old who scored for Iraq last evening became one of the youngest scorers for Iraq, or first World Cup scorer for Iraq, was questioned for 7 hours on entering the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's unfortunate that that kind of stain is on the beautiful game. However, it does open the conversation of geopolitics on the other side and the necessity to, one, address it purposefully so that it does not affect things like this. It's affected the Olympics as well, or affecting. So what they have to prepare for now is how to best put diplomacy in front of, I should say, apply diplomacy to something like this so it does not affect the beautiful game that is sport. I think we answered there.
I think you did a good job.
All right, great. So let's go back to the telephone line. 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
The beautiful Tosca Martinez.
Oh, thank you.
The Everest Saunders. Morning to you guys.
Morning.
Well, I know that World Cup will be taken up majority portion of the airways these days, so I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Our Tosca, I look at the magician himself, Matthew. And if Messi continues to be in that same hungry vein that he is, because those goals were not just for those were clinical goals. I watch how Messi put those goals behind that net. Those were clinical finishes. This man is hungry for a second World Cup. Now, I'm not an Argentine fan, far from that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I give kudos to who is deserving of it. An Argentine look well. Messi look even weller. My team is France, and I am expecting a France-Argentine finals again. But I say France all the way. Mbappe looking good. I'm hoping that he don't fall into the trap of running in too much offsides in this World Cup, and he do what is necessary for him to bring a victory to his home team. All in all, I think the underdog going into this, I shouldn't say underdog, but I'm looking at Mexico. Mexico look like they can go all the way to. They are home, and they're looking good. All the best. Saunders, continue doing the good work. And Martino, Ms. Martinez yourself, continue to look as beautiful as you are.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks. Realize I didn't say Brazil, eh, James?
Yeah.
Realize Brazil not in that prediction at all.
The conversation.
It's been
a while since we've been there.
What's that? Sorry?
I said it's been a while since we've been in that conversation.
Oh, God. I'm feeling sorry for Neymar. Neymar, his career has been spoiled by injury, you know? And he had such potential. He was one that I was really looking forward to seeing really shine in a World Cup. And it's really unfortunate how injury just, you know, dampened that whole thing.
Yeah, the prince that never turned to a king.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, if I had it my way, you know, I would want Neymar to walk away or leave his career with a World Cup title. He's won pretty much everything for Brazil.
Mm.
Brought them Olympic gold, Youth World Cup titles. He's the highest goal scorer in their history. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that injury has robbed us of some of the best years of Neymar.
Mm-hmm.
He truly is one of the last magicians out of Brazil.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take another call. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. So going back to this, I would call it a sore thumb of a matchup. England and Croatia. I've seen a kind of a brutal game with that one. What say you?
Well, I mean, if I were to just start by looking at their recent history, it's always been, you know, one of those close clashes. I think last four times they played, Croatia would have won one, and they would have drawn another with England winning two matches.
Mm-hmm.
I think 2-1 margin. So it's that close. You look on paper, England is within the top five ranked in the world, while Croatia 14. Although I think, you know, rankings in itself doesn't tell the entire story. We look at Croatia's run in their last World Cup. Croatia coming out of a golden generation. In fact, this is the last World Cup for Luka Modric, one of their talismen.
Mm-hmm.
It was one service for them. Croatia knocked Brazil. I had to sigh when I said that.
Yeah, the boys will go. Mm-hmm.
But you also look at England, they've been to two Euro finals. But they've changed coaches now. Thomas Tuchel coming in. He's trimmed some of the fat of the squad. He left home the likes of Phil Foden, Trent Alexander-Arnold. And, you know, it's a new-look England for all intents and purposes. So I look forward to this match, to see Tuchel's England and, you know, what he can get from them. Because the quality of players that he's left home, he clearly has an idea of how he wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
And to see Harry Kane in action, who's had a phenomenal season and is certainly in the conversation for Ballon d'Or this year. So if I were to call this match, I think it's going to be a very close match. But I just think that England with Harry Kane, they've got greater firepower and they could just edge this one.
Mm-hmm. So here is the, should I describe it? The devil advocate's question. Would you all consider the U.S. team as having a chance?
That's a mischievous but good question. Very good question. I would say prior to this tournament, I would have said no. I would have said, okay, guys.
Absolutely not.
Go to bed, kids. This conversation is not for you. But, you know, what I've seen from them in their opening match and what Pochettino has been able to do with that team, it's a hungry team playing at home. Let's talk about the atmosphere at home. The last match that they played, the atmosphere was phenomenal for a U.S. match played in the U.S. Crowd is loud and cheering, and it seemed to energize the players. But what I saw from this Pochettino team is it's a very intense team. In fact, I would even say that they've been the most impressive team that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly gave Paraguay no chance. It's the best defensive team in South America, who got the better of Brazil and Argentina, were made to look like a secondary school team playing against it.
Mm-hmm.
Pochettino was able to destroy a low block team and create chances and score many goals. You know, I don't know how many people know how impressive that is. Even coaches like Luis Enrique and Pep Guardiola, who are some of the proponents of possession-based football, have struggled to break down low block teams. But yet this USA team made one of the most defensively solid team in South America look, you know, clueless. And, you know, I would say that definitely I can see them moving on to the knockout rounds. How far and, you know, how would they match up against higher-ranked opposition? That's a question to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that will give us greater insight into just how good this USA team is.
Now, as much as I laughed, right, I've had this theory. I expressed it to Ian and Walter during one of our match or sports commentating shows on a Wednesday, that the whole move to bring their own soccer league to America, David Beckham owning
Into Miami
with Messi being their key player in pink, by the way. That's a different story for another time. But I felt that they recognized that their brand of football before, in my observance, was a kind of wild football, arrogant, egocentric kind of thing. And they didn't quite understand the game of football because they keep on calling it soccer, right? So with the introduction of Beckham and Messi, they, to me, got a bigger idea about structure of football, the passion of football, and the different elements from, let's say, the Latin American way of playing, and then also the English way of playing, because they have all those influences coming to Miami now. So they kind of did their homework. So as much as I laugh, as not seeing them as ready to take the trophy as maybe make an impact. So I think they're doing that. But I think I see them going to the next round as well. Unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I see them going all the way to the knockout round. Just so far, you know, they're still untested against a larger nation. I think the introduction of Balogun as well, the naturalized Colombian who scored those two goals in the opening match for them, you know, certainly added a different dynamic to their team. He's very technical, and he scores goals. He's a goal scorer. You know, so Pochettino, despite the criticism that he's been having from some of the U.S. fans, I think certainly made a statement in his opening match. And, you know, side-eye, you know, looking at the U.S., you're like, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, you're doing something there. Mm-hmm. You know, let's see how far you can take it.
Yeah. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, Tosca.
Morning.
Colonel Saunders. Good morning to you,
sir.
How
are you doing?
It's really Colonel Saunders, you like to say that.
No, you have two distinct sporting philosophies that are coming into close proximity with each other here. You have the American philosophy, glitz, glamour, and slick. Whilst you have the philosophy which is the rest of the world, which is the colonial sporting philosophy, which is what we call football is based upon. Now, I'm asking a question here, Mr. Saunders. How do you feel about the water break, the concept of the water break? Because for me, I find it, I'm not for or against it. I think it's something that you could introduce at certain times. If the need arises now, I find that they're bringing it every game compulsory, and I find it don't need to be compulsory. It needs to be as the circumstances dictate. And if you're in a stadium that you spend $600 million for, and the stadium is temperature controlled, I'm not understanding the need for a water break in every game. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'd like to hear your take on it. I'll listen up here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll tell you the need for it, and the need for it is advertising revenue. Mm. Bing, bing, bing.
I didn't expect you to say that, but it's a good point, though. Yeah.
That is just what I think the need for it is. Do I like it? I absolutely hate it. And, you know, I feel as if I'm looking at a basketball game. The match is broken up into four quarters, essentially. To me, it robs you of the momentum of a match. And, you know, I think what the caller is absolutely right when he says that, you know, in extreme conditions when it's very hot. I mean, we grew up in the Caribbean playing in extreme conditions. I remember playing matches at 1 p.m. I don't know who the organizers would have decided that 1 p.m. was a good time. You know, so we've grown up playing in extreme conditions. Maybe in extreme conditions, the referee decides, okay, let's have a water break, fine. But, you know, I absolutely don't see the need to have four quarters of football. I know the Americans, you know, we have, and when I say we, I mean FIFA and conventional football, have bent a lot to the demands of the American market. And, you know, when you think about it, no American sport goes for that long consecutively, and their short attention spans.
That's it. I'm not going to say that their attention span is short, especially when you have their constant feed on TikTok and so on, 15 seconds or more? So I think it's really, as you say, advertising space. I was going to say their minds, it's attention span. They're, you know, playing to that. Someone says here, unfortunately, Miss Martinez, wow, the U.S. POTUS won't like that. The water break is to gain revenue from ads. Same thing that another person is saying here. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning. Good morning.
Morning to you, Tuscan. Morning to James Saunders.
Morning.
Yeah, the man that my wife always seemed to like his hairstyle. It varies from time to time. Listen, the football coverage is really good. The football is really, tremendous. Results could go different ways and so on, but I'm enjoying it. The only thing is that the U.S. shows the dominance in the world as to how they can control anything, including sports. And it really devalued the whole question of that interaction between countries and so on, and what they experience on the ground. And I am hoping that FIFA, revisit the whole question of when they're hosting America, let at least when they're hosting World Cup, that, America stay out of it for a little while Trump can find his way. Because everything stemmed from the leadership in the U.S., where you're feeling that depending on where you come from. Because look at the guy from Somalia. He's exemplary. And then you pull him through that. So I think America has really pushed forward the downside of outside of the football, how they're treating people. But generally, the football continues, and I'm enjoying it. And that's about it. That's my contribution, Tosca.
Thank you so much for your contribution. Now, going back to the water break, that was listed in the new rules implemented by FIFA. The VR technology for the side referees, line referees. What do you think about the upgraded rules?
In terms of the VR?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm old school and, I come from the camp of if it isn't broken,
don't try to fix it.
Mm. Yeah, some rules better the game, and some rules just, annoyance in my perspective. Mm-hmm. So one of the rules that I'm not in favor of is one where you could be yellow carded for covering your mouth. In this era where we have high definition cameras that are zooming in and can tell you what underwear players wearing, I think sometimes our players protection, I think it's a silly rule to be no harm, no foul.
Mm-hmm.
They say, so that players cannot share offensive things, but a little fatigue sometimes is part of the game. Players will trade fatigue from time to time. It's a part of the psychological warfare of the game. So that's one of the rules that I don't think I'm very much in favor of.
Mm.
As well as, in terms of once you go down, you have to leave the pitch. And, I understand that they want the game to flow. But sometimes as well, you can't really be out of the bathwater as well. We don't want a case where there's a serious injury. And, because you feel the need to, I need to get up, I can't stay down. We risk further injuries to players. So, some of the rules, I think, add to the game. And, some I think are quite unnecessary, in my opinion.
And then the one, is it true? Well, this is a new thing that I found out, that the ball itself has a microchip in it. So, like, if the ball... Why? Is that, does that make sense? I find it kind of a little freaky, to tell you the truth. It's beyond necessary.
Yeah, we live in an era of statistics and data,
mm-hmm.
and numbers. And again, it's all for the advertising dollar. With increased data, I can sell you new products.
Mm-hmm.
I can sell you sport drinks. I can sell you merchandise. Based upon what the data says. You look at it in one aspect. You're looking at it to better the game and to have better record keeping, but it's all a money grab.
I find it's too invasive.
Yeah.
All right, let's take in some more calls. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Tosca.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Saunders. Mr. Saunders, have you ever worked at Flow?
I have. At Flow Sports in particular.
Well, they just love calling competitor names on my show. Where's that one, boy? Where's that one, boy?
Of course, friend. Oh, Lord. Yes, Mr. Saunders, have you ever worked at Flow? I always watch on TV and wonder if this is the guy I knew.
Yeah, you would have seen
me from time to time. I'm not here on the phone.
So, oh, you're not here. Okay, he says yes, he has from time to time.
Well, I will have known Mr. Saunders. Great. And that same issue with respect to the break in the World Cup, I had that same impression when I first thought about it. It is a good area for advertising. The question I would like to ask is whether you think FIFA would continue with it going forward, because you know they are about the money as well. Yesterday was the first time that I really sat down and watched a whole match. I watched Argentina play yesterday. Argentina is not one of my favorite sides, but I looked at their defense and it looks impregnable. Mm. And the other thing I looked at is Messi's part of the game. Now, they are stars, they are good runners, they are good everything, but I was wondering whether or not they would be effective if he is not in the mix. And I think I might have to agree, after this World Cup, he may go down in history as the GOAT. Thank you.
What say you, James?
Well, you can see by my celebration, I absolutely agree with the caller. You know, in my opinion, I think he's already the GOAT. No disrespect to Edson Arantes do Nascimento, who is one of my favorite players of all time, you know, being a Brazilian supporter. But I, you know, within my lifetime and from what I have seen, I think he's the best player I've ever witnessed touch of football.
Mm-hmm. Magic, that's why they call him the little magician, you know?
Yes, definitely.
Now, we've got a couple more minutes to go. Let's quickly talk about the games that are happening from tomorrow to the weekend. Some notable matchups are carded for the weekend as well. I see we've got Mexico versus Republic of Korea. We have, as we mentioned, USA, might as well say USA and Australia. And your team versus Haiti on Friday, and Saturday we've got, well, let me just call out, well, actually there's plenty, but the highlight games I'm looking at, Saturday we've got Germany against Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast, what do you think?
Well, they're a team that I like, and it's simply because, not because of necessarily what they've achieved. I don't think they've won an AFCON, but they are a team that produced the likes of Didier Drogba and the Touré brothers, etc. Mm-hmm. So when Kalou, you think of so it's a team that I grew fond of. I don't see them as major contenders this time around in the World Cup, but they've certainly got a ton load of quality on the field, and certainly will give us good entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And then, Spain versus Saudi Arabia. Spain better do something. Do something. So, yeah, tell me, what you think of that matchup?
That's going to be another interesting match. Mm-hmm. I expect, you think about Argentina last year, the world champions, and their first match against Saudi Arabia. And if that will tell you that, they're certainly not a walkover. Argentina lost their first World Cup match against Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And Spain coming up against another team that I expect will park the bus, will have to find answers. I just wonder, though, if Lamine Yamal, who I think will be the breakout star of this World Cup, if he's fit, if he will play and how much of an impact or role that he will play. Nico Williams as well, two wingers. I thought that they lacked severely in the first match. Just giving Nick about 15 minutes to come on, because he suffered a hamstring injury prior to the World Cup. But I think if Lamine Yamal plays, we could see a very different Spain. And I think, without a shadow of a doubt, believe that if Yamal is fit, that he will be the breakout star of this tournament with Spain.
Yeah. I don't remember names that much, but I know that there is a young boy that I'm looking at on that team that seems to have a real complete understanding of what to look for on the field.
I stay clear of those brandings, but his gameplay is very reminiscent of one Neymar Jr. when he was breaking through. He's one of the players that I enjoy looking at week in, week out. And I tell you, he made his debut at 16 and a half, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's a veteran now, and he's not even 19. He just turned 19.
Yeah. And when you have basically like 20 years again in football, anything can happen. Another matchup, Belgium versus Iran, that's happening on Sunday from 3 o'clock. Uruguay and Cape Verde, that's another interesting matchup as well. Powerhouse Uruguay against Cape Verde. So, and we saw the performance against Spain. So we can look out for some action in that as well, yeah?
Yeah, most certainly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for improved performance from some of the South American teams. I think apart from Argentina, they've all underwhelmed. And, you know, we look forward to see what South America has to produce this World Cup. We saw some good performances from the African nations. Of course, the European nations have done their thing. It's now the turn of South America. I mean, Colombia are the last of them to play their first round. And to see what they can really produce at this World Cup.
All right, one more call or two. Hello? Hello, good morning. I'll try it again. Sorry, 625-2257, 627-3223 is the number. We did not mention Norway. Yeah, talk to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, just 2 words, Erling Haaland. World Cup debut, and what an impressive World Cup debut it was. I mean, second goal is a bit, I don't like to say fortuitous, just a goal is a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And but he certainly showed what a threat he could be,
mm-hmm,
on the global journey. It was a joy to look at him playing with his national team mm-hmm, last evening. And I remember Norway, and some of your listeners might be a bit too young to remember the days of Tore and Jeff Flo. Being a part of one of the stars of that team. This team is certainly Erling Haaland's team.
You mm-hmm
know, and he showed up, and I was very impressed by that.
Now, to close it all off, I'm a girl of fashion, right? So I've been looking at some of the highlights of, you know, the fashion of the 2026 World Cup. Norway has come out as the most aesthetically pleasing in terms of their kit for on the field, which is impressive. Haiti, unfortunately, had to change their outfits for what some political nonsense reason. Democratic Republic of Congo, hello. And I know that you're a man who likes good suits. So tell me, who has been impressive? Who has been impressive for you in terms of their kits?
Well, unlike you, Tashka, you know, I have been more fixated on the football and less on the kitchen. Not Efra, than the other.
Oh, come on. You like a good suit. Men, you know, they tend to appreciate the suits that they wear. So, yeah. You know, I thought you would have noticed that, but okay.
But from what I've seen from some of the women pages on social media, I'm taking no responsibility here. What else you know, women pages, Nigeria has looked and some Nigerian players that they've looked good in their fashion sense. But you know, when it comes to fashion though, I always bring it back to because Nigeria not there. But
mm-hmm,
what I always bring it back though to France.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the French team, those boys could really dress. I don't know if their style in Paris.
Well, I mean, Paris is one of the fashion capitals of the world, you know?
Yeah.
But on that note, James, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about football and, you know, your analysis of what to expect, what to look forward to. I don't know if I should put you in the position of predicting the final matchup. I've had a few predictions already. One from Las Lomas saying Portugal, France. Another one saying France, Brazil. Hey, hey. Another one says Portugal, Argentina. For me, it will be Spain versus France, maybe. I'm in two minds about France or Argentina. So just waiting to see how that goes. But your prediction?
You put me on the spot here.
Well, yeah.
What I would say, Let me just give you a quick synopsis, first, a preamble before I tell you. There is a statistician who has correctly predicted the last two World Cups, and he has predicted, brace yourselves, Netherlands, Holland, as winning this year's World Cup. He also predicts Japan to beat Brazil in the knockout round.
You know, I wish we had more time, but Japan has been surprising too. Japan and South Korea, but yeah. Okay, interesting predictions.
That being said, in the preamble, that's the preamble. I would love Brazil to be in the final.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's what my heart says. Although my analytic mind doesn't allow me to see that happening. So I'm going to give you four teams that may be in the final. Spain is definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
France is another. I would put Argentina in that category. And my fourth team would perhaps be England. Two of those four will definitely be in the final.
All right. James Saunders. Sorry, what's the last thing you said? Sorry.
Mutation on the line there.
Well taken. So I will write it down, your four teams, so because I'm writing down everyone's predictions. So you have it on note. Today is the 17th.
And on the sixth one.
James has said Spain, England,
France, and Argentina.
France and Argentina. All right. Thanks so much. James Saunders on Freedom 106.5 FM, talking sports inside the human impact. Thank you so much, James.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.